Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Πολεμίστερες, θα δεις να σε κοιτάζουνε μορφές. Κι αν δεις εκεί ψηλά στις πολεμίστερες, θα δεις να σε κοιτάζουνε μορφές. Και τότε ένα παράπονο σε παίρνει και στα καντούνια μέσα σε γυρνά. Η πόλη μια παλιά αγαπημένη συναντά σε ξένη αγκαλιά. Η πόλη μια παλιά αγαπημένη που συναντά σε ξένη αγκαλιά. Θέλω να πιω όλο το Βόσπορο. Αλλάζουνε βαριές χανούμισες να ζει και ρίχνω μες στο στόμα των αρμάτων τη κούφια μου αλήθεια τη μισή. Και ρίχνω μες στο στόμα των αρμάτων τη κούφια μου αλήθεια τη μισή. Θέλω να πιω
That was Alkyonos Ioannidis starting us off today with a beautiful song that took us back to Asia Minor. Vosporos was the name of that first track here on Dialogos Radio, the Greek-American radio program which comes to you each week on 9 radio stations across 4 continents. I'm Michael Nevradakis and I will be here with you for the next hour with more wonderful music from Greece such as the first song that we heard today, and also with today's edition of the Dialogos interview series, where today we were initially scheduled to feature an interview with the Greek economist Dimitris Kazakis, but due to some last-minute scheduling changes, we will instead be airing an interview with a professor of economics from Brown University by the name of Mark Blythe, who is also the author of a recent book titled Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea. This book was very well received, and it was named as one of the best books of the year by the Financial Times in 2013. And in today's interview, Mark Blythe will speak to us about the historical origins of economic austerity policies, about their implementation and failure in many parts of the world over the past century, and he will analyze what he feels are the true origins of the economic crisis in Greece and in much of Europe. In addition, Mark Blythe will also share with us his thoughts and insights as to how Europe could reverse its downward economic trend and overcome the current economic crisis. This informative interview with professor and author Mark Blythe of Brown University is coming up next here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. The Dialogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Dialogos Radio. Joining us today on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series is Mark Blythe, a professor of international political economy and a faculty fellow at Brown University and the author of a recent book titled Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea. Professor, thank you for joining us today.
It's very nice to be with you.
To get us started, share with our listeners a few words about the history of the idea of economic austerity, of the theories, if you will, that this idea is based upon.
You have to go back quite a way to get to the roots of this. You almost have to go back to the origins of capitalism itself. So go back to the time of John Locke and the English Revolution back in the 17th century. What you have is a bunch of people who have decided that the divine right of kings isn't good enough anymore, and they want to redistribute property amongst themselves. Now, in order to do that, there's a paradox, which is you kind of have to take over the state. So you fight the civil war in order to run the state, in order to make markets. And the dirty little secret of liberalism is that markets don't spring forth from the ground. They're oftentimes made in conjunction with and made possible by the state. But then there's a problem, because if states are strong enough to defend you against the people who will take the property that you get when markets generate that surplus, because it tends to generate rather unequal distributions, that state's also strong enough, as the Americans fear and why they have the Second Amendment, to come after you and take your property from you. So liberalism's always had a love-hate relationship with the state. It doesn't trust it, but at the same time, it needs it. And most importantly, it has to pay for it, which is a question of taxes. So it's out of that ambivalence towards the state and the need to fund it that the idea of austerity comes out, in the following sense. Whenever the economy gets into trouble, if something has to be cut, it's rather than the excesses that caused the bubble, for example, in property that's blamed, it's the state spending that led to it. So we cut back on spending every time.
There's this perception that keeps being pushed by the supporters of austerity policies that we were all living beyond our means, particularly those of us in Southern Europe, that spending is wasteful, that we must tighten our belts. But you take a different view and you place the blame for the economic crisis on the banks primarily. Why is this the case?
Well, it's not bank bashing for the sake of it. Banks are relatively useful things. It's just that when they become leverage machines, that is to say, for every dollar that they have in reserves, they have 30, 40, or 50 out there in loans. and they fund themselves overnight to lend 30 years, they become very, very levered up and very vulnerable. So when the funding dries up, suddenly you're billions of dollars on the hook for loans that you have no way of keeping whole. And you turn around to the state and say, we need bailouts because if we go down, everybody goes with us. And that's an extortion racket. Now, that's what we think happened in America, but it actually happened in Europe as well. It just took a more slow motion form through 2009 and 2010. To talk about Greece for a moment, much has been made of the fact that the Greek government in 2010 revealed that its deficit was bigger than had previously been advertised, and that certainly rattled the markets. But what really bothered the markets was the decision by the European Central Bank back in May 2009 to say publicly that they were not going to stand behind all European sovereign debt. That said, there's no backstop for the bank run if there's a bank run through the bond market, and that means that the market started to price Greek debt and other debts differentially from German debt. And that's where the problem started. If we go back to Greece again, the notion of an orgy of public spending. If you look at Greek public spending through the 2000s, it's really on track and quite average in comparison to everyone else's. Over a five-year period between 2001 and 2006, it's pretty much flat. As for the orgy of public spending leading to all of those public sector jobs which were useless, I believe that the figure was 14,000 jobs over a two-year period, which is no different from the United Kingdom when you scale it up. So there's a lot of nonsense being talked here as political cover for the fact that what we've done is bail out some of the richest people in European society and then put the cost of that on some of the poorest.
Now, as you mentioned a few moments ago, economic austerity is not a new concept, and over the past century or so, we've seen it implemented in numerous instances around the world. Could you share with us a very brief history of these economic austerity policies as they have been implemented in the past 100 years, and what the outcome typically was?
Certainly. I mean, go back to where I began with the notion that you have this love-hate relationship with the state. Well, the problem starts to come in the 19th century when the state gets bigger. And the state gets bigger because you have a reformist liberals, particularly in the United Kingdom, but also elsewhere. And you have a conservative version of this in Germany with Bismarck and others that say that the state needs to kind of soak up the excesses of the market in order to protect the market from revolution. And that's why we have welfare states and other such devices. Now, the problem with these things is they're very expensive. And periodically, markets fall into crisis. And then those who have wealth and income at that point in time have a choice. They can either smooth the transition by spending, that is to say, when income is collapsing, you generate more income, which tends to mean taxing the top. Or alternatively, you cut it for those at the bottom to reduce government spending. It's two ways of attacking a deficit and debt problem. Now, the problem with as we see in the Eurozone just now is if everyone tries the trick at once, all that happens is growth disappears and the amount of debt actually increases rather than decreases. And we've seen this historically almost everywhere. My favorite example of this was in the 1920s in Japan. Coming out of World War I on the victor's side, the Japanese thought that the golden age was ahead of them. They were the new industrialized economy. They were export-driven. They'd copied their institutions from Germany, just as the Eurozone's meant to do today. And then the world went into a gigantic slump. Rather than try and compensate for this, the Japanese government went on an austerity binge. It took 30% of GDP out of the economy in 3 years. It was called the Showa Depression. It was deeper than the Great Depression. And the idea was by reducing costs so much, it's the same story here in Southern Europe today, you will become more competitive. But the problem was the world economy began its long slide into the Great Depression, and you couldn't be competitive enough. And the more that you were cutting, the more you were reducing domestic demand. And eventually there was nothing left to cut except the military budget. And eventually the Japanese military, after years and years of cuts, had enough. So they assassinated their political class, took over the country, and went on an imperial expansion binge in China and the rest of Southeast Asia. So austerity is key, not just as a bad economic policy, but as some of the crucial turning points for some of the ugliest moments of European and world history.
Now, with such a history, why do you believe the European Union and the International Monetary Fund chose this route for Europe when the crisis over there began a few years ago?
Because no one wants to stand up in a democracy and say we need to bail out the richest people in society from their own errors. And if we don't do it, we'll all be worse off because essentially they have us. And that's really what's going on. We talk a lot about the 1%. Let's broaden it out a little bit. It's true the 1% globally, as a new Oxfam report showed, own basically 40% of everything. But across the OECD, including countries like Greece and elsewhere, if you talk about the top 30%, you're talking about 90% of wealth and income. And when the banks lever up and when they give us loans and we can buy new cars and all this, we love it. And we love the mortgages and all this sort of stuff. And you have to remember that our assets are the bank's liabilities and our liabilities are the bank's assets. So we're all in this together. So the top 30% see the banks failing. And we're quite happy then when the government steps in and bails out these banks, because they're bailing out your mortgage and your pension. And they're bailing out your assets and your investment along with the 1%. They may have billions, but you still care about yours. So you're quite happy when it gets bailed, but the cost of that is a massive increase in government debt. Well, who are the people who ultimately pay for that when you cut spending? Those who receive government services or salaries. So they're the ones who get their salaries cut by 30%. Meanwhile, you've had your pension bailed. I like to call this a class-specific put option because that describes exactly what it is.
We are speaking with Professor Mark Blythe of Brown University, author of Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos Interview Series. Professor, in your opinion, what should have been done differently back in 2009 or 2010 in Europe?
Do what the Americans did, which is admit that you have a banking crisis. The Europeans still have a slow-motion banking crisis. The Spanish banking system is not just illiquid, it's insolvent. If it hadn't been for the so-called long-term refinancing operations, which have been $2 trillion of liquidity pumped into the European banking system, it would, as a whole, be insolvent. There's an Oliver Wyman report came out at the end of last year that estimated that of the assets in the European banking system, 50% of them would be basically underwater or worthless if it wasn't for public money supporting the entire system. So you've got a banking problem, you address the banking problem. You don't address a government problem. You don't turn around and say the problem is that Greeks don't work enough, when in fact they work 600 hours a year more on average than Germans. And you don't create a politics of division between North and South. So how do you solve a banking problem? First of all, you force the banks to take their losses. And that means you have to confront some of the most powerful people in society and tell them that they need to actually bear the costs of the risk that they've taken. Now, how do you do that without taking down the whole system? You do it by developing the capacities of the European Central Bank. They say that they can't bail out banks. They say that they won't bail out sovereigns. Well, unfortunately, they missed the memo because that's what a central bank's for. You're meant to bail, fail, and then send the culprits to jail. So far, all we've done is bail, and everyone's gotten away with it that matters. However, in the American case, what they were able to do by identifying as a banking crisis was to take the assets off the banks of the book, the books of the banks, and allow them to delever. That is, their footprint of assets becomes smaller. This eases their funding constraints and allows them to recapitalize. So the American banking system is back to where it was in terms of size, which is 60% of GDP, but is much healthier and is lending again, hence why America's growing. The European banking system is twice as levered and three times the size of the American system. There are countries in Europe whose assets to their banks to GDP are 450%. I speak of no less than the United Kingdom. One bank in Germany, Deutsche Bank, is 86% of German GDP and runs operating leverage of over 40 to 1. These are behemoths. They dwarf the sovereigns that are putatively responsible for them. And now they're in the euro and they don't have a printing press. They can't bail their own bank. So it falls back in the ECB. And the ECB said, we don't do this. And that's where the whole crisis started. Once Mario Draghi came in, the ECB reluctantly says they'll do whatever it takes. It's called being a central bank. Because of that, and not because of cuts, and not because of austerity, because of that promise and the liquidity that was granted in the LTROs, the yields are down. Europe has breathing space, but it is addicted to cutting for the sake of cutting, and that's why it can't grow, and that's why it's not going to grow.
And that leads right to my next question, which is, we keep hearing about there being a Eurozone recovery. We hear many politicians in the European Union that are talking about how things are improving, and they're crediting, of course, the austerity policies with this supposed success. What is your response to that?
If I was hit by a car and I managed to stand up and walk away, I wouldn't thank the road for being there. And that's essentially what they're doing. They're confusing cause and effect. What's actually happened is a banking crisis. What has resolved the banking crisis is action by the central bank. Nothing more, nothing less. The countries that cut, Greece amongst them, has lost nearly 30% of GDP. Ireland is celebrating its return to the bond markets. Its unemployment rate is still 12%, and there's practically no one in the country under the age of 25. They've all moved. Quite how they're going to pay back the debt they've accumulated when cuts alone are generating more debt is a mystery to everyone. Now, why are they saying this? Because they're politically invested in it. Because some of them believe it. Sometimes it's ideological. Sometimes it's naked self-interest. It's not as simple as they're all in the pockets of the banks. It's simple. It's a different, slightly different story, which goes like this. We recognize that collectively the European banking system is multiples the size of the GDP of the underlying economies. We recognize that European governance institutions are completely inadequate for dealing with this task. We recognize that Germany alone is too small to bail this problem, even if it wanted to. If it tried, it would fail. So we're kind of stuck. So what do? We squeeze, we add liquidity, and we tell everyone we're turning a corner because we don't really have any other policies. The alternative would be to admit that they have a banking crisis. The alternative would be to develop some kind of common fiscal policies. But given that's in the hands of the Germans, who basically want to turn everyone into a mirror image of themselves and for everyone to run an export surplus all at once, which is mathematically, let alone practically impossible, that's not going to happen anytime soon.
You mentioned a few alternatives just now, and in some of these southern countries, including Greece, we hear talk among some circles about a possible return to a domestic currency. Do you believe that this would be a solution for some countries?
Well, if you're a big country and you actually have things to export, then that can work for you. If Spain were to do this, it might work. If Italy were to do this, it would work after sort of short-term costs. The problem for Greece and Portugal is they don't have a growth model. So basically, although it's a myth that most of this public spending was wasted, for example, infrastructure became much better, the Athens subway was built, etc. The fact of the matter is that Greece doesn't really export anything that someone else doesn't export, either in greater quantities or at higher quality. So the agricultural sector in Greece can become more competitive by pushing already chronically low wages further. And that means that in Germany, I can buy a bottle of olive oil for €2. So you can make the argument that Europeans are better off because Greek olive oil is more competitive. But what exactly does that do for the macroeconomy of Greece and the people who live there? Not a great deal. These microeconomic solutions don't add up to a macroeconomic picture. But that's compounded by the fact that some countries simply, even if they were to have their own currency, don't export enough of value to make that work for them.
Well, Professor Blythe, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today and for sharing your insights with us.
Unfortunately, they're rather depressing insights, but hopefully we can learn and move on. Thank you.
Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. That was this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio, where we heard an interview with Brown University economics professor and author Mark Blythe. The podcast of this interview will soon be available, along with all of our other podcasts, on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the official Diálogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and the Google Chrome browser, the Swell Radio app for iPhones and iPads, and the Windows Marketplace place for Windows phones and the Windows 8 operating system. And of course, we will have more interesting interviews coming up in the next few weeks here on Diálogos Radio. We'll have more details about that a bit later in today's broadcast. For now, though, we'll get back to some more music. Keep it locked in here on Diálogos Radio.
Υπολογίζω έτσι τον βρίσκω τον καιρό, έτσι τον αρμενίζω. Με νοιάζει δε ρωτάω η ζωή τι θα μου φέρει, στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στα άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι. Στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στα άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι. μονάχα ο έρωτας γεμίζει την καρδιά μου. Νοιάζει δε ρωτάω η ζωή τι θα μου φέρει. Στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στ' άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι. Στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στ' άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι. Στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στ' άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι. Στο να χέρι το τσιγάρο, στ' άλλο χέρι το μπεγλέρι.
Σου θα ραθώ με ένα παραπονό, με ένα παραπονό πικρό, να σε καλησμερίσω. Με ένα παραπονό, με ένα παραπονό πικρό, να σε καλησμερίσω. Έχεις αφήσει μια ψυχή στη παγωνιά και στη βροχή. Με ένα παραπονό, με ένα παραπονό πικρό, θα στο ξαναθυμίσω. Με ένα παραπονό, με ένα παραπονό πικρό, θα στο ξαναθυμίσω. Καρδιά. Φέρ' τη μαζί σου μια βραδιά. Με ένα χαμογέλο, με ένα χαμογέλο ζεστό, θα σε καλωσορίσω. Χαμογέλο, με ένα χαμογέλο ζεστό, θα σε καλωσορίσω.
Εμείς οι δυο κι η νύχτα πίστα σ' ένα ταγκό κορμί κορμί χωρίς ορχήστρα, και έχω αγκαζέ για φωτογράφο ένα φεγγάρι με πανσέλινο γεμάτο.
Εμείς οι δυο κορμί κορμί ζούμε τα χρόνια, τη στιγμή την αφορμή. Εμείς οι δυο σ' ένα ταγκό γλυκά σε σφίγγω και στο βήμα σου χωρώ.
Εμείς οι δυο κι η νύχτα πίστα σ' ένα ταγκό κορμί κορμί χωρίς ορχήστρα. Εμείς οι δυο χωρίς στοιχεία, με μια ταυτότητα που γράφει ευτυχία. Εμείς οι δυο κι η τρίτη έξω σ' ένα χορό μόνο για δυο θα σε χορέψω.
Εμείς οι δυο, κορμί κορμί, ζούμε τα χρόνια τη στιγμή την αφορμή.
Εμείς οι δυο, σ' ένα ταγκό, γλυκά σε σφίγγω και στο βήμα σου χωρώ. Εμείς οι δυο, κι η νύχτα πίστα, σ' ένα ταγκό, κορμί κορμί, χωρίς ορχήστρα.
Κορμί, κορμί, ζούμε τα χρόνια τη στιγμή την αφορμή.
Εμείς οι δυο, σ' ένα χαμό, γλυκά σε σφίγγω και στο βήμα σου φορώ. Εμείς οι δυο, κι η νύχτα πίστα, σ' ένα ταγκό, κορμί, κορμί, χωρίς ορχήστρα.
Διάλογος Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. That was Litza Diamandi wrapping up That Set of Music here on Diálogos Radio with a song titled Tango. Prior to that, we heard Manolis Mitsias singing Mena Parapono, and we started off That Set of Music with Mary Chronopoulou singing Ime Gineka Tou Glendiou. Recently, we've been announcing the impending launch of our new collaboration with Porretes Magazine, the Greek-American magazine that is opening doors to the worldwide Greek community, and soon we will hear the first of the new special radio features that the Porretes Magazine editorial team will be preparing for us, focusing on the budding startup scene in Greece. We'll have that feature ready for you within the next 2 weeks or so here on Diálogos Radio, and of course we'll have more information about it on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also on Facebook and Twitter, where you can find us simply by searching for Diálogos Media. For now though, we'll get back to the music here on Diálogos Radio, and when we return in a few moments, we'll have more updates about what else you can expect to hear on our upcoming broadcasts.
Σε που με μόνη, σε σκέφτομαι και πίνω. Για μια στιγμή μονάχα και τη ζωή μου δίνω. Να αρχώσου να σ' αγκλέφτης, να πάρεις το κορμί μου. Και να σπάγει ο καθρέφτης της νύχτας στη ψυχή μου. Μες τη νύχτα χάθηκα, δεν ξέρω που πηγαίνω. Μια στιγμή φαντάστηκα πως θα σε ξαναβρω. Μες τη νύχτα χάθηκα, δεν ξέρω που πηγαίνω. Πριν το τέρμα στάθηκα για να μην τρελαθώ. Το σπίτι με βαραίνει και όλα πια μου φταίνε. Σκέψεις στο μυαλό μου σαν τις φωτιές το καίνε. Να αρχώσου να σ' αγκλέφτης, να πάρεις το κορμί μου. Και να σπάγει ο καθρέφτης της νύχτας στη ψυχή μου. Thank you.
νύχτα χάθηκα. Δεν ξέρω που πηγαίνω. Μια στιγμή φαντάστηκα πως θα σε ξαναβρω. Μες στη νύχτα χάθηκα. Δεν ξέρω που πηγαίνω. Πριν το τέρμα στάθηκα για να μην τρελαθώ.
Και να μου πει σε θέλω. Απ' το σκοτάδι να φανείς σαν ξεχασμένο τρένο. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Να μου λες δεν πρέπει, δεν μπορώ. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Κλαίει η αγάπη σαν μωρό. Μου το μπαλκόνι να σου φωνάξω όσο ζω. Πότε δε θα σε μόνη. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Να μου λες δεν πρέπει, δεν μπορώ. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Κλαίει η αγάπη σαν μωρό. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Να μου λες δεν πρέπει, δεν μπορώ. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Κλαίει η αγάπη σαν μωρό. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Να μου λες δεν πρέπει, δεν μπορώ. Να σου λέω έλα, να μιλάς για τρέλα. Κλαίει η αγάπη σαν μωρό.
κάτι μισοφέγγαρα και όνειρα πένταρα. Ξεκίνησα μια μέρα. Παράτησα τη τύχη μου ήσυχη μες στο σπίτι μου. Να ζήσω παραπέρα. Με κάτι μισοφέγγαρα και όνειρα πένταρα. Ξεκίνησα μια μέρα. Σημερώνε και βραδιάζε και το κορμί μου πλάγιαζε. Με σε γυαλιά σπασμένα σπαρτάρα γαστάκι στρί μου και λέγα μα την πίστη μου. Παλεύω και για σένα. Ψυχή μου στήριγμα, το πείσμα μου το σφύριγμα, το δρόμο μου τραβούσα. Με στη ζωή στο κάγκελο, το γέλιο μου αρχάγγελο είχα και τραγουδούσα. Με την ψυχή μου στήριγμα, το πείσμα μου το σφύριγμα, το δρόμο μου τραβούσα. Σημερώνε και βραδιάζε και το κορμί μου πλάγιαζε. Με σε γυαλιά σπασμένα σπαρτάρα γαστάκι στρί μου και λέγα μα την πίστη μου. Παλεύω και για σένα. Πλάγιασε με σε γυαλιά σπασμένα σπαρτάρα γαστάκι στρί μου και λέγα μα την πίστη μου. Παλεύω και για σένα.
Take Diálogos Radio on the go with you with the new Diálogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Diálogos Radio and Diálogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. This is Diálogos Radio, the weekly Greek-American radio program that is heard on 9 radio stations across 4 continents and online. We just heard Katerina Kouka singing Me Onira Pendara, while before that we heard the late, great Dimitris Mitropanos with one of his classics, Apopse Thathela, and that set of music began with Elpida singing Mesti Nikta. Earlier on today's broadcast, we heard an interview with Brown University Professor of Economics Mark Blythe, who discussed the failures of economic austerity policies in Europe and everywhere else where they have been implemented historically. And if you missed the interview or if you would like to hear it again, the podcast of that interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, and also in iTunes, tunein.com, the official Diálogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, in our apps for Google Chrome, the Swell Radio app for iPhones and iPads, and the Windows Marketplace for Windows Phones and for the Windows 8 operating system. Our musical journey continues now here on Diálogos Radio, and we'll return in a few moments with some updates about the interviews that we will be hearing on our upcoming broadcasts.
γυρνά. Μακριά μου ταξιδεύει, μα δεν με χαιρετά. Αλλού είναι δεμένος, αλλού κοιτάζει και γελά. Στο φως είναι λουσμένος, τίποτα πια δεν μου ζητά. Πες μου πως θα έρθει να με βρει απ' την αρχή, να ψάξει μες στη δική μου αγκαλιά, να μπει και να πετάξει. Πες μου πως πάλι εδώ θα έρθει, θα έρθει και θα χαράξει. Από τα μάγια να λυθεί. Πες μου πως θα έρθει να με βρει απ' την αρχή, να ψάξει μες στη δική μου αγκαλιά, να μπει και να πετάξει. Πες μου πως πάλι εδώ θα έρθει, θα έρθει και θα.
Είσαι τόσο παιδί κατά βάθος, είσαι τόσο καλό κατά λάθος, κι είσαι τόσο αφελής που άμα θέλεις μπορείς όσα χάνουν οι ξύπνοι να βρεις. Είσαι τόσο αστείο μορτάκι, σου φιλάω και το δαχτυλάκι, που έχει πάθει ζημιά. Τι τον θες τον καβγά, τι τον θες αφού πιάνεις λαβράκι. Έλα ψυχούλα μου, έλα καρδούλα μου, ξέρω δεν είσαι ό,τι δείχνεις. Άλλοι σε παίξανε, άλλοι σε μπλέξανε, κλάψε γιατί όταν κλαις μικροδείχνεις. Δάγκω στα χείλη σου, είμαι μαντήλη σου, σβήνω το πάγο απ' το βλέμμα. Έλα στραβάδι μου, πιάσω απ' το χάδι μου, κράτα εδώ μη σε πάρει το ρέμα.
ζάρισα μου τρώσε μένα. Δεν σε παίζω με φύλλα κρυμμένα. Βρίσκω αυτή τη ρογμή που η ζωή η ομή. Το χαμένο λατρεύει κορμί. Δεν υπάρχουν νερά του Ιορδάνη. Κι όταν πιάνεις μωρό μου λιμάνι. Μην την ψάχνεις πολύ, όλοι οι αμαρτωλοί. Όλοι είναι απ' το ίδιο χαρμάνι. Έλα ψυχούλα μου, έλα καρδούλα μου. Ξέρω δεν είσαι ό,τι δείχνεις. Άλλοι σε παίξανε, άλλοι σε μπλέξανε. Κλάψε γιατί όταν κλαις μικροδείχνεις. Δάγκω στα χείλη σου, είμαι μαντήλη σου. Σβήνω τον πάγο απ' το βλέμμα. Έλα στραβάδι μου, πιάσω απ' το χάδι μου. Κράτα εδώ, μη σε πάει το ρέμα.
Εγώ ξένος. σαν τρελός, αποκλήρως και πικραμένος. Εγώ ξένος, εγώ ξένος.
Follow Diálogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Diálogos Radio, the Greek-American radio program, which is heard worldwide on 9 radio stations across 4 continents and online. That last set of music was wrapped up with Nikos Portokaloglou singing a rock version of a classic Greek song, Εγώ ο Ξένος. Before that, we heard Lavrentis Macheritsas with Ele Psychoula Mou, and we began that set of music with Yota Nega, a singer who we had the opportunity to interview in the past here on Diálogos Radio, with a song titled Tina Tu Simveni. Today's show is about ready to come to a close, but in the coming weeks here on Diálogos Radio, we will be featuring several more interviews that you absolutely will not want to miss, including an interview with the renowned Greek economist and the general secretary of Greece's National Popular Front, Dimitris Kazakis, who will analyze for us the ongoing economic situation in Greece, and who will present for us his ideas and proposals for how Greece can get out of its economic doldrums. We will also be speaking with Paul Ioannidis, the honorary vice president of the Onassis Foundation, in an intriguing interview about his life, his role in the Greek resistance during World War II, and his professional relationship and friendship with Aristotle Onassis. Plus, we are working on getting a special musical guest or guests on our program in the coming weeks, in addition to all of the other great interviews that we will soon be announcing on the air and online here at Diálogos Radio and at dialogosmedia.org. We will close out today's broadcast with some music by Petros Gaitanos, a beautiful song titled Lathos Epochi. We'll be back on the air again next week, same time, same place, and until then, have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening.
Κάνω εδώ. αγάπη σε κερδίζω.
Λάθος σε πω.